Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Public Handicapper Podcast. On this week's pod, we are handicapping the late pick five from Gulfstream Park on Saturday, May 9th. This is show number 63, May 8th, 2020. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Public Handicapper, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, how are you this morning?
Doing great. I'm really happy that somehow racing has managed to continue throughout all the craziness, and it looks like it will continue on throughout the summer and fall. And we've been lucky enough to be able to talk about races every week on the pod, including this week. So I'm looking forward to doing it again and to continue doing it going forward.
We are truly lucky, and I felt that we had returned to a bit of normalcy when once Churchill Downs and Santa Anita announced that they were racing. We also have a returning, it's a special guest, first time on the show. He's qualified for the NHC 15 times and has a 17th place finish. He's number six on the all-time NHC points list. His biggest tournament win came in the 2005 Ultimate Handicapping Challenge during the Breeders' Cup, where he won $45,000. He's Mitch Schumann. Mitch, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. I'm all isolated, right, and socially distanced.
Are you more isolated and socially distanced than usual?
Well, I am usually very isolated, but yes, even more so.
All right. Well, before we tackle this Gulfstream Pick 5, I just wanted to ask you for our listeners' benefit, what is your main angle when you handicap?
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, I don't think I have a main angle. I'm more of a globalist, but I certainly would feel like I cannot properly handicap a race without the Thorograph numbers, but I don't want to say that I'm a sheeps player. And unlike a lot of sheeps players, I think that class is important. And so I would say those are the two main things, is class and the thoroughs.
Okay, and do you use any other tools besides the Thorograph numbers?
I use so many tools that I'm going broke paying for all the tools. Formulator, I cannot handicap without using Formulator. I use the Plotboy numbers for pace numbers.
That's racingflow.com for people who
racingflow.com.
Are wondering.
Yep. So that's basically it.
Okay. Well, I don't know, Chris, if you have any questions for Mitch.
Well, I just want to comment. Mitch is probably the most organized person I've ever seen at the NHC. He's still kind of a paper guy, but he's really organized. So I would imagine even at home when he's playing the races, he's very organized. And I think especially in contest play, when you're at a live contest with multi-tracks going off at the same time, you know, being organized and well-prepared can really pay dividends. So I think that's one of the areas where Mitch is probably really strong as a contest player.
And
people who ask me about the NHC, I tell them that the number one thing is really to be organized, because with all those races going off sometimes at the same time, you really have to have everything at your fingertips or you're just going to be overwhelmed.
Yeah, and it seems like no matter how prepared you are, it's still a little bit overwhelming, at least for me.
Yes,
it's a fun kind of overwhelming.
Yeah, but it's manageably overwhelming if you're organized and prepared. If not, you're really in trouble.
If you have binders for every track, I consider you organized.
Yes, and Mitch has them all, and they're sorted, and he knows where everything is. I mean, he's sort of on the scale of 1 to 10 being organized. He's a 10.
And for our listeners' benefit, I would add that I have been to a tournament with Mitch. I've been to several tournaments with Mitch, many, many tournaments, actually. But we went to the Meadowlands tournament once, and Mitch felt pretty good. So he got 5 entries into this qualifier. And I think he finished, I know he won it. He won the whole tournament by going all in on a Euro shipper at Keeneland. But also, he finished also, I think, 3rd and 4th. Do you remember where you finished with 3 of those entries, Mitch?
I cashed on 3 of them. I think it was 1st and 4th. I don't remember the 3rd one.
Okay. Well, anyway, you know, there are times when Mitch absolutely crushes it. And when he's hot, that's when I start saying, who do you like in this next one?
All right. Well, let's find out who he likes in this next one.
All right. So there is a mandatory pick 6 payoff at Gulfstream, starting with the 7th race. We didn't all handicap the 7th race, so we're not going to start with that one, but we will cover the 7th race a little bit by the end of the pod, and hopefully I'll have a chance to look at it while we're doing the pod. And so we'll touch on that after the 12th race. But we'll start with the 8th race, which is a claiming race. It's 6 furlongs on the dirt, a purse of $20,000 for 3-year-olds and up. And Mitch, as our guest, let's have you go first.
Well, I started, as I usually do, by looking at the favorite, and the 7-5 morning line favorite is the 5 Louis Kingdom. And certainly there's no reason why that horse can't win. He's probably the fastest horse in the race. He could conceivably get a soft lead up front. They're excellent connections. But I would try to beat that horse. And what I don't like, or what I'm concerned about, is that the horse was reclaimed, which is normally an angle that I really like, but Larry Ravelli lost the horse for 35, reclaimed it for 30, and has not raced the horse since February. So that's a rather long layoff, and now is dropping down to 16. So maybe he's dropping him to win, but that concerns me. I did use Formulator to look up how often he claims a horse and then doesn't race it. And I used the time period of 75 to 120 days, which sort of captures this time period. And he doesn't do it very often. He was 0-6. So those numbers, you know, it's a small universe of numbers, so it doesn't mean that much. But it concerns me enough, and the price is so low that I'm looking to beat that horse. And there were 3 horses that I was interested in. But, you know, I have questions about all 3 of them. The 2-horse Harper Go Lucky is running for the first time on a fast track sprinting. So the first out sprinted on the slop, then went long, then went turf, and now he's got 2 works and he's on a fast track. So that horse, the number 2 Harper Go Lucky, interested me. And then the 4 has been competitive. The 4 is War Act, has been competitive, although against lesser company. Certainly could improve, and any improvement would put the 4 right there at 10-1. So that's a pretty good price. The 2 Harper Go Lucky is also 10-1. And then the 3rd horse that I think interested me the most is the 8 horse, Reserve Not Attained. And also, it's not like that horse jumps off the page. The thing that does jump off the page is in July of 2018, ran a very good sprint race at Gulfstream, won the race, broke his maiden. It was a fast-paced race, ran the best thorough number, I believe, of any of the horses in this race. But that was July of 2018, so that's a very, very long layoff. Came back in April and sprinted on the turf, which I view as a workout. I don't think that this horse is meant for the turf. They're now Yates and Saez are teaming up, so the connections are great, putting blinkers on, 8-1. So I don't like horses that haven't shown anything in 2 years, But I think that horse could certainly light up the board if he gets that price. So those are the three I'm interested in: the 2 Harper Go Lucky, the 4 War Act, and especially the 8 Reserve Not Attained.
Well, I did look up the trainer stats for Reserve Not Attained, and second off a layoff, turf to dirt, and the layoff is 180 days or more. He is 1-for-4 with a 260 ROI and 1/3 and 2/4. So he can do it, and he's 5-for-7 at the meet. Chris, what did you think?
Well, I see the race really similarly to what Mitch said, but I will add a few things. First, on the Louis Kingdom, with Irad jumping on, the horse is going to get way over bet. But a couple things in his favor. If you look at his form, his 2 best races were sprinting on dirt, and his back sprinting on dirt. He's had, 7 lifetime starts. 5 of them were on poly or turf, and 2 were on dirt. And so I think being back on dirt is really big for him. And the other thing is Ravelli is making that drop, which you would think would be negative, that he reclaimed it and he drops it down. But if you look on his stats with this owner dropping down like that, he wins 50% of the time. It was 70% in the money. So this owner is willing to drop to win. And given all the uncertainty in racing and stuff, I think drops aren't quite as significant as they were. So I agree that horse is a big underlay, but I think it is probably pretty strong as well. So I wouldn't toss it if you're playing the pick 6 or pick 5. I agree on the Harper Go Lucky. Actually, his win was pretty impressive. He had a tough trip, and when he shook loose, he really ran well. And his last 2 were routing, so I would expect improvement here. But he needs to improve. He doesn't really run fast before, but he's been working well. So he's live. But I'm with Mitch. To me, the horse, this race is all about the 8 horse. I think he's the one to beat. Reserve Not Attained. That horse, I always like second off a layoff when they have a big number to run back to. Definitely the last was just a prep. The switch to Saez is big. The trainers had Saez run twice this year, and one was a win and another was 3rd, beaten by a half a length. I looked at the stats just second off a layoff, in dirt sprints, and he's 1-for-4 and 4-for-4 in the money. So, I mean, this horse and the blinkers go on. It has tactical speed. It drew a nice outside post. I mean, there's lots of positives. And because he hasn't won, he's only raced once, and he hasn't, I don't know if he's beaten a horse in 2 years, you might get the 8-to-1, although my guess is he'll get bet down below that. he just seems like he could romp in here. And so, at a decent price, to me, the 8 horse is definitely the play.
Well, I will concur with you that you have to use Reserve Not Attained. However, in this race, I would go deep because I think it's a bunch of ouchy horses and anything could happen. I mean, that horse, Reserve Not Attained, ran a stakes quality fig in his 2nd race in a maiden special weight. Then he gets gelded. He comes back in a 20,000 claimer, dogs it, and now he's going for 16. I mean, there's clearly something wrong with this horse. And even though the trainer has some stats, he's going to get bet. And I agree to use him, but this is the kind of race that is just a complete completely out of form horses, and almost anything could happen. And the smart thing might be to play all, but I actually went 6 deep in this race, and my top pick is the 3 Cat Gone Quick. he's a little slow, but he improved significantly with blinkers and gets in super light at 111 pounds. So he could keep improving with those blinkers. He likes to run on the lead. There's a good chance he will have the lead. He'll certainly have an inside trip. And even if he doesn't, he gets 12 pounds from the five and a few of the other horses here. So he can run, he can win this race, even if he doesn't improve that much, just because he's getting significant weight from the other horses. The trainer, interestingly enough, is waking up now that the big trainers are, I know the big trainers are still lingering because there was nowhere else to go, but he's actually 3 for 8 in the current meet. And, you know, I think he was kind of waiting for the big guns to head out, and now is doing very well. So he would be my top pick. That's a really interesting thing you said, Mitch, on Louis Kingdom. And it reminds me that you got to think about the trainer. I normally just look at the numbers, and I'm not thinking about the trainer who Brent Sumja mentioned. He said that, you know, having been a trainer, he's always thinking about like what's the motivation. And that, I think that's a really key angle, that on those drops when after the claim, if he doesn't run them for a while, that there might be something wrong with the horse, and that he's 0 for 6 makes me almost want to toss the horse. Probably keep him in this race, and this is the race that I'm going deepest, but it's a really interesting angle, and I'm writing down your guys' angles, because I know that Marshall last week gave us some great angles on horses, and I didn't write them down, and I didn't re-listen to the pod, so I missed out. So hopefully we can feed off each other.
Well, I think Chris's angle on the drop on Louis Kingdom is interesting, because the question I think that is presented is, what do you do with a trainer who's very successful dropping, but not so successful with a horse laying off after a claim? So, but I think I would feel uncomfortable putting together a pick five ticket without using the favorite, the five Louis Kingdom. On the three, I'm surprised, Pat, you didn't mention, because it's something you would normally pick up on, that the this trainer and the jockey are 1 for 1, and the horse was 58 to 1 that won that race. However, I would not use the three, I'm sorry to say. First of all, I have a dislike of horses that are facing winners for the first time, but I don't think this horse will get the lead, and I think that the pace in that race was slow, which reflected the fact that it was a maiden 12,000. So I think the three probably needs the lead. The three, Cat Gone Quick, needs the lead, won't get the lead, and is facing winners for the first time. And maybe also having run a new top, that the horse also could bounce.
Well, those are fair points. I think he's at least 8 to 1, maybe higher. I don't know how they're going to bet this race. I wouldn't trust the morning line. I would imagine that the 8 is going to get more play than 8 to 1.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You didn't mention Harper Go Lucky, Scott, and just the race prior to Cat Con Quick's last race, Cat Con Quick got the lead in the slop on a slow pace, and Harper Go Lucky had all kinds of trouble and just blew by him, galloped out way ahead of him. So if you like Cat Gone Quick, I think you have to like Harper Go Lucky.
And I didn't have him in my initial use list, but the fact that both of you guys like him, and you know, those are fair angles, that he hasn't run sprinting on a fast track yet. I will probably include him, because I think I go skinny enough later that I can go really deep in this race. So it'd be silly for me not to include him as well.
And I do just want to second one thing you said. I mean, I don't know if necessarily this is a total spread race, but these kinds of races at running at this level, you know, these horses are all unreliable. So that's why Louis Kingdom, he's hard to leave off, but at a really short price, he's hard to rely on for some of the reasons that both of you pointed out. I mean, these are the tough kinds of races in a pick five or a pick six, because it's just really hard to get value out of the race in a reliable way. You either have to spread or you've got to lean on horses that you really can't trust. So that's why these are always tough races in this sequence.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. This is the type of race that I would ordinarily not even want to play. I don't like these cheap claiming races. You have no clue what condition these horses are in and what the trainer intends to do with them. So, I would ordinarily just pass this race.
I will say, just for the record, I'm going to try to use in the pick five, the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9. So I'm going pretty deep. The reason I'm using the 6, Chino Motto, he's second off a layoff route, going route to sprint. And he was fast enough at 2 that if he's developed from that ability, he can win. Now, the trainer second off a layoff, Jamie Mejia, route to sprint, he's 1 for 14, but that one was 102-1. And that was only up to from like 60 to 100 days off. Now he's been off longer. He was off longer. So from 180 to 270 days off, he's 1 for 1. So I can see this horse also being there. And the trainer's been pretty hot lately. I think he's like 3 for 10 at the meet. So I would include that horse and the others that. But I don't have details on the others, but I would include Chino Motto in just such a messy race like this. He's a horse that can blow up the pick five.
I think blow up is the key word. If you look at the odds this horse has run at, including, and this you don't see very often, last February went off at 233-1.
And ran like it. Okay, well, so I guess we'll wrap that up and we'll go then to our next race, which is the 9th. It's the stakes race on the card. It's the Sunshine Forever Stakes, 1/16 on turf, purse of $75,000 for 4-year-olds and up. And we'll let Chris get started this time.
This is a good race. Some of our old pod favorites are on here. Number 11, Admission Office. I have been touting him for several races, saying he's going to run a big race, and he popped the big race last time, but it just wasn't enough to beat Zulu Alpha. I mean, he ran a huge race and still got beat at a big price. Fortunately, I did have that exacta, but if he could have won that race, that would have been a big play for me. So, you know, I clearly think he's the one to beat in here. I think there'll be an honest pace, but he does draw an outside post. He does have a running style that can get into trouble. The switch to Rosario should help quite a bit. And the fact he gets in light, because he didn't win that race, you know, he's getting as much as like 8 pounds from horses like Social Paranoia. That makes him pretty strong in here. So, you know, I think he's definitely one you use, probably not one you can bet to win. The horse I think is the real value in here is another horse from our longtime pod listeners, that we've had as a winner at a price on the pod is El Tormenta, the 3-horse, who, ran much better than it looks in his last. He ran dead last, but he was coming off a long layoff for a barn that's, you know, not really known for running well off the layoff. And he drew an outside post, and Le Perru tried to, like, see what happens in front of him instead of just sending the horse. And there were some other pace horses in there. He kind of played it cute, and he ended up getting hung really wide on the first turn. And then he just let the horse roll on the backside, and it just swallowed up horses and ended up going to the lead, a huge middle move. And he sustained that all the way around the turn. And then he just threw in the towel at about the 8th pole, understandably. But the fact that he made that big move into a hot pace and just shows me he's pretty good horse. He probably got a lot out of that race. And now he draws a good post, gets a different rider, and he's in a race without a lot of other pace. There is a few other horses that can run near the lead, but the one that scares me the most is the outside horse, the 12 horse War of Will. So he could get caught up in a duel with War of Will. But I think he'll run a big race. I think he'll do much better than he did last time. And because he ran dead last in his in the previous start, you have a 12-1 morning line. Don't know if you'll get 12-1, but you might, because there's other horses they can play. And so to me, El Tormenta is the value in this race.
Caring also, I just noticed this, as much weight as Social Paranoia, 126, which is a lot of weight to be given to admission office, 8 pounds. Mitch, where did you land here?
I landed just where Chris landed. I like the 3 El Tormenta a lot, especially at 12-1. I think the only reason I'm guessing that the morning line is as high as it is because that last race was, at least on paper, such a stinker. But I agree with Chris, rushed up, was wide, wrapped up late. So if you toss that one, all of his other races are good enough to win here. Has wins in grade 1 and grade 2. And I think there isn't a lot of pace here, which is a negative for the 11, the probable favorite admission office, which I think needs pace because that horse is a dead closer. And El Tormenta, the 3, could end up with a soft lead. So I like this 3 a lot, especially at that price. There are other horses that I think you have to look at. The 4, Aquaphobia is a maker horse, so you always have to respect that. You have the 6, Halliday, the Pletcher horse. You have the 9, another favorite, Social Paranoia. But as always, I'm looking for a price, and I landed on the 3 El Tormenta for the reasons I said.
One thing that some people might notice is that the trainer, Gail Cox, does not do well at Gulfstream, and that's true. But the one thing that you have to realize when you're handicapping these races is that she normally would have this horse up at Woodbine now, and she really points her horses for that Woodbine meet. So you got to figure that the last race was just a prep for a stake at Woodbine. And last year she prepped at Keeneland for a stake at Woodbine, which he won at a decent price. And Chris actually had him on that day. Congratulations. Also, I noticed that while you were talking that the horse was keen on the lead or keen near the lead, and now they're taking blinkers off. So maybe they think that the blinkers are affecting him. Now, I do think that there's certain questions about all these horses. I think El Tormenta carrying that 126, it makes me nervous, and I'm not sure that I'm going to use. There's two horses. Well, there's a few that I will definitely use. The first one, and I'll say Admission Office is one of them. I mean, you have to. He's the fastest horse, and he's carrying less weight. He's faster than Social Paranoia, and he's carrying less weight than that horse, 8 pounds less. So you got to use him. But the only negative is he did run a 3-point lifetime top in his last as a 5-year-old. And they, you know, a 3-point top as a 5-year-old is often the end of the line. So that's why I certainly wouldn't single him. There are a couple of horses that I would definitely use. The first one, and this is a bomber who I'm not going to play to win, but I think has a shot. It's the 2, Sand Dancer. He was fast as a 2-year-old. He ran 2nd in his last at 17-1. And he's, interestingly, the third refs actually list weight if it's been reported. And he's gained weight from the age of four to the age of five, and it's probably not flab. He's probably getting stronger. So I think he has some upside. And all of his wins were on or close to the pace. He's got three wins all at the distance, and they're all on or close to the pace. He's been wide in both his last two trips. And I think from the inside, his only way to win is to establish position off what could be a hot pace. And when I say could be, War of Will could really gun it for the lead. And Halliday also likes to run on the lead. So he could be sitting third or fourth off a pretty snappy pace. And on the inside, getting a little bit of weight with back numbers and clearly not being able to win from off the pace, I would say, I would guess that they're going to send him a little closer to the pace. So I wouldn't bet him to win, but this is the kind of bomber that can blow up the pick five. So I would include him. I would also have to use the six, Halliday, off a really nice pattern and great positional speed. And War of Will, he's kind of a, you know, he hasn't won on turf, but he also didn't regress when he was on turf. He improved every race on turf. So, and he's working like a maniac. I mean, he's working better than he did before the Preakness. So I'd have to use him, and they have him at 10 to 1, and he's not going to be 10 to 1. I mean, that's silly, but I would use him as well.
Well, I just a couple of things I wanted to add on the admission office. When it comes to horses regressing, the most reliable horses to not regress, the least likely to do that, are quality turf route horses that are closers, because those horses don't run hard right from the get-go out of the gate like a dirt sprinter would, or even dirt routers. They typically really only put in a big run in the last half to quarter mile. So they're just less likely to regress off efforts. And also, he had as strong a pattern as you'll ever have in a horse. And that race was coming. He was capable of running that for a while now, I think. He just finally popped the big race. So I wouldn't be as concerned about him regressing. He's had a lot of time, almost 2 months since that race. And he gets in light. I mean, to me, he's pretty strong in here. I'm more worried about the trip than the performance that he'll put out. So that I'll just add that in there, just as, and that's more for future reference in racing. You know, if for the listeners, that those horses, you know, the most likely to react to a big effort is a dirt sprinter, because that likes to run in the lead, because a lot of times, you know, that's a huge effort for them, and they're going faster and hitting a harder surface. So they're much more likely to get some sort of injury. Whereas on the turf, going long with a closer, they're not going nearly as fast for as long, and the surface is much more forgiving. So especially if they get 2 months from that race, those are pretty reliable. So I just want, that's kind of a general thinking on that.
Look, I agree with that general premise. And I also would not bet this race without including, you know, not bet the pick five without including that horse. However, my caveat still stands. He ran a really big number as a five-year-old. It was the race of his life. He still didn't win. And there's a chance that he will regress. So if there's anybody out there thinking about singling the horse, that's really the warning is about that. I'd be nervous about doing that.
Yeah, and the only point I'm just making, yeah, there is a chance. There's a chance any horse could regress. There's just, he's as likely to run well as about any horse you'll find, much more likely than a horse coming off a big effort on the dirt, especially a dirt sprint. So it's all relative. It's all probabilities. I'm just saying these horses are much less likely to regress, especially when they're given lots of time, than other horses.
Yeah, I agree with Chris. I think the time factor makes the regression much less likely. But my concern about the 11, who I would also have to use on any pick five ticket, but my concern about the 11 is the trip. Last time out, when he got the lead and then coughed it up, that was a very fast pace that he ran into, which is what this horse needs. I don't see a fast pace here. He's got to get the trip. on the two, Sand Dancer, Scott, I just feel I need to mention that the trainer is 1 for 37, the jockey is 2 for 87, and this horse is just too slow. This is a horse I would toss immediately, and if we were in a contest together, you would tell me you like this horse, I would tell you that I would toss the horse immediately, and then the horse undoubtedly will finish in the money. So
I thought you were going to say that the horse would finish fourth, because that's usually what happens.
And then I scratch my head and go back and look.
Yeah, so I agree on the trip is the concern with the Mission Office. I think Rosario helps in that regard. And I do, I'm kind of with Scott, with War of Will in the race, I'm thinking the pace might be, I hope it's not, but I'm not sure what they're in here for. He has run okay on the turf before, so it's not like he can't run on it, but I just don't think they're in it to win it here. This, to me, just looks like an obvious prep that this is not what they want War of Will to be doing this year's turf, you know, running in low-level turf stakes. You know, they're going to be running him in grade one dirt races eventually, so you know, I'm just not sure they're going to be pushing that hard with him. That's what I'm hoping for, that they just want to get a race into him. And El Tormenta maybe won't get the kind of pressure that he could if they really send him. I just want to mention there is one other long shot in here that I think is worth, that I like after Admission Office and El Tormenta, and that's the 7-horse Hawkish, who he showed a lot of potential as a 3-year-old. He was one of the top 3-year-old turf routers. And then something went wrong. He went on the bench. He came back. He didn't really improve as a 4-year-old. And he went on the bench again. And they ran once. Then he went on the bench again. So he's got some physical problems. But they're sticking with him. And he has run well off the layoff before. You know, he could improve a lot. He was running as a 3-year-old was pretty good, and any improvement off that and could make him a contender in here. And maybe he gets overlooked because it's been so long since he's really done much. And he does have the talent. I just don't know what the physical problems were and if he's been able to overcome those and he's ready to fire off the bench. But he's another horse that wouldn't shock me if he runs well.
He did win a $500,000 grade two stake. So clearly he has talent. I did see a tweet by one of his owners. His name is Justin Nicholson. And he intimated that they wanted to get one into him. But that also could be a red herring. Maybe he's trying to raise his price. It just feels like he probably will need a race. But
yeah, I would agree with that. That's most likely. But just he's one that, who knows, if he is ready, he might pop a big race because he is talented. That's all.
Yeah, I was interested in this horse, the 7 Hawkish also. But I'm always concerned about these horses that have these constant layoffs because obviously they have physical problems. This horse had throat surgery after the May 4th last year race at Monmouth. That he actually won, and then came back in October and ran a stinker and has been off since. So, you know, is this horse likely to be ready on Saturday? I'm cautious about that.
Okay, well, a lot to think about in this particular race, but we'll move on to the next race, which is the 10th. It's an allowance optional claimer, 1 mile on the turf. Purse of $42,000 for 4-year-olds and up. And I have a feeling we're all going to land on the same horse in this race. Mitch, why don't you get us started?
Well, now I wish I knew who you were landing on. The 6, I think, is the favorite. 6, 2-1, Battle of Blenheim. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Michael Maker, if you look at the thoroughs, the horse almost always runs a 6 or a 7. Last three races were all big races, although he gave up the lead in the last race. and this horse wants to attend the pace, if not be on front, be stalking right behind. And there's at least four other horses with speed here. So as usual, I want to try to beat that horse. And the horse that I landed on is my first choice at a very juicy 20-1 is the number 7, Basha. So I don't know if that's the horse you were thinking of, Scott.
It was not.
Okay. So 20-1, I mean, that's fabulous. The ran a 6 and closed very well in the last two races. This is a mile on the turf, so 2 back, lost by a neck, closing very well at 30,000, and ran a 6, which is right there with the favorite. So I don't know why. Maybe you guys could figure out, I mean, the connections are not good, but why this horse is a 20-1 morning line. The 13 was the other one that I was looking at. Also, and the 13 is Urban Light, also 20-1. So that horse was running not great numbers in Europe. And then one of my favorite angles, if not my all-time favorite angle, is the horse coming here from Europe and adding Lasix, and they always improve. They almost always improve. And this horse didn't, but, and this is now, the last horse he ran in Europe was in August of 2018, came back in February of 19, but that was on the downhill course at Santa Anita, and some horses don't like that. So I'm willing to forgive that effort. And then came back at a mile at Santa Anita and closed very well, but was hurt by an extremely slow pace in that race, so he had no pace to run into. And then ran in April of 19 in a stakes race and ran a new top, but was steadied at the start and had a bad trip. So then the horse takes off a whole year. So the horse ran again April 18th of this year, but that was on the dirt. So that to me means nothing. That was after a long layoff on the dirt and still paired up and ran another 9, which was the top that he had achieved last year. So I think as a 4-year-old, that this horse is ready to run a new top. I think almost certainly will run a new top. And at 20-1, I would definitely be using the 13 Urban Light. And since I'm picking prices, I also think that the 11 Shooting the Breeze, who always closes, and Graham Motion is one of my favorite trainers, just also ran a 6. Is now second off a layoff and is also ready to run his best. Of course, on, you know, we're always concerned about those outside posts. So those are the 3 horses, the 7, 11, and 13. Again, the 7 is Basha, the 11 is Shooting the Breeze, and the 13 is Urban Light. And then the questionable horse is the 9, Honey Won't, which is a Mott Saez, but at that relatively short price, I think it's a 4-1 morning line. You know, I would put that as a you know, seahorse if I was ranking them.
All right, I will concur with you on Urban Light. I think the horse has a great shot. It is first on the also eligible list, so still has to get into the race, but if gets in, will be a threat. Chris, what did you think here?
Well, the horse that you know I like and that I think you like too is the 11 horse Shooting the Breeze that Mitch mentioned at the end. It's a classic second off layoff 4-year-old angle. His last race was just perfect for me, exactly what I want to see. I think he runs big. The post is a bit of a concern. Again, you get Rosario just like on the Mission Office, which can make up for, I mean, right now at Gulfstream, Irad is, you know, riding out of his mind, and Luis Saez and Joel Rosario, those 3 just dominate, I mean, the races. And so I think those 3 can usually work a trip on any horse right now in that jockey colony. So I think that makes up for that a little bit. And I know that's probably who Scott likes, because he likes Graham Motion as well. And he likes that same sort of pattern. So he's obvious. I just can't believe we'll get 8-1, unfortunately. But to me, he's clearly the most likely winner, but not by a whole bunch. But he's one I'm pretty confident will get it run well. After that, it's really, really competitive. And like Mitch said, a horse like Basha definitely has a chance in here at a price. And Urban Light makes a lot of sense, especially if you look at the breeding on that horse. It's all European turf route breeding. And its last race was on the dirt off the bench, and it had trouble, and it still ran pretty well. So to me, that says that horse is sitting on a big race if it draws in, but it has to overcome the post. And it doesn't have Joel Rosario. So, you know, that'll be a challenge, but you'll get a much, much better price on that horse. The other long shot that wasn't mentioned yet, well, there's two, but I'll only talk about one and pass it over to Scott, is the 5-horse Harbor Master, who was a pretty good horse as a 3-year-old for in Jim City, and then something went wrong out in California. He had a long, long layoff, and they got him back to a race. He ran okay, but then he went on the sidelines again. He ran okay, went on the sidelines again. Now he shows up in the Biancone barn, and there's been a couple horses that Cassidy used to train in California that have ended up in Florida with Biancone. This horse, Biancone's pretty good off a layoff. He's had a pretty good year at Gulfstream. And if this horse is ready, it could run a big race in a race where, you know, it's already run fast enough to win, and it might actually be better because that was back as a 3-year-old. But it's a lot like a couple other horses we've talked about today on the pod, like Hawkish, where there's some obvious physical problems. And so you just can't trust them. But a lot of times those kind of horses, if you're going to cash on them, it's going to be off the bench because they usually, you know, they're going to run and then they're going to, you know, react to that effort and go back on the bench. Especially if this were like a dirt sprinter, those are the kind, a lot of times their best races are going to be right off the bench. For a turf router, you can hope maybe they can give him a prep and then he'll fire second off the layoff, but you never know. I mean, he might fire right off the bench, and if he did, he certainly fits in here. So I'm all about shooting the Breeze, the 11, and then some live long shots are the 5 Harbor Master, the 7 Basha that Mitch mentioned, and the 13 Urban Light that he mentioned, but he has to draw in.
Well, I will concur with both of you on Urban Light. I also would use Harbor Master for the reasons you state. And I also concur on the 11, Shooting the Breeze. I love that pattern, second off a layoff, just ran a small top, first off a layoff, and had 2 solid races as a 3-year-old that were fast enough to almost win this race. So he's really likely to improve. And I kind of doubt we get 8-1. Somebody on Twitter, I forget who it was, but somebody made their best bet of the day Shooting the Breeze. So I've only seen the race even mentioned one other time. And that's what the mention that I saw, I forget who it was, but it was some, public handicapper or, sort of TV personality. But that's all I have to say on the race, 'cause you guys said it all.
Well, the trip is what will make, I think, Shooting the Breeze will run a good race. It's a trip that will determine the, sort of like Admission Office. I think it's the horse most likely to win, but it did draw an outside post, and Rosario will have to earn his money. And Rosario, you know, he's a live by the sword, die by the sword kind of rider. I mean, he can put on just sensational rides, especially on horses coming from off the pace. And he's really good at finishing on horses, but at other times, you know, he can Rosario you. So I think that's what it's really about in here. I did just want to mention one other horse, since you didn't bring up anything else, Scott, and that's the 2-horse Stealth, who is making its turf, first start on the turf. The trainer is not very good, first turf, Ian Wilkes. But this horse's breeding isn't that bad for the turf. He's got speed. He's drawn inside, and he's fast on the dirt. So That horse might be interesting first time turf. That's the only one. He's the kind not. I don't know if I'd play him to win, but you know he could be 20-1 or higher, and he could hit the board if you're playing, you know, the vertical exotics.
Just one thing about Stealth is that one of the things I don't like that when I see on the running line is broke very slow start, off slow, dwelt start, slow start. So the horse has a big problem getting out of the gate. And sometimes I know handicappers tend to say, okay, so if that horse breaks well this time, then there's going to be a big improvement. But those horses almost never break well. The pattern is established. It's usually some kind of physical thing. But when I see almost every start is slow start, off slow, dwelt, that's a huge negative for me on the two Stealth.
Totally agree with you. Oh, go ahead, Scott.
No, I was just going to add that I looked up the breeding because I was wondering, does this horse have any turf breeding? And he might have some in his lineage, but his siblings have run on the turf multiple times and been completely shut out. So I think maybe the dam is just not passing on the turf hoof.
It could be. Blame's pretty neutral turf dirt. I just want to follow up on what Mitch said. Totally agree with him. If this was a dirt sprint, I wouldn't like this horse at all, because if you can't get out of the gate in a dirt sprint, you can't win. But going from a dirt sprint to a turf route, it's not as crucial that you break alertly. And if you're on the inside, you can drop over to the rail and save ground. So to me, that's kind of a plus. Maybe that problems he has in the gate won't be as detrimental to him in this race as they have been in all his other prior races on the dirt. So, you know, that's just a reason why. I'm not saying this horse is, I don't think it's a great bet. I'm not saying go bet the mortgage on him. I'm just saying it's a live bomber that might get overlooked, that has some, there's some reasons to think maybe he could run a competitive race in here. That's all.
Okay, well, enough about that race. Let's move on to the 11th, which is an allowance optional claimer. It's a 6-furlong race with a purse of 41,000 for 3-year-olds and up. Chris, what did you think?
Sorry, I was on mute. This race, the horse I like the most is the 7 horse Haunted by the Music, who has only made one start, but it was really impressive in that he was in a battle from the start, and then the final 8th, he just bursted away and drew off. And I love those horses who can kind of sit and finish, especially in their debuts. I don't really like, and he comes back with a fast number as well. I don't typically like the ones who get an easy lead or set a real fast pace and hold on, but I really like it if they can just sort of track the pace and then and burst away. So that was really impressive. The negative was, you know, he didn't, let me see, I'm trying to pull up his sheet here. If I remember right, he didn't run for a while. That was 4 or 5 months ago. So that makes you wonder what's the deal. But he has been working really well since then. And of course he ran well in his first start, so he probably can run well off the layoff. But clearly there's some kind of issues. Although with young horses, sometimes it could just be like buck shins or something, not anything major. So to me, he still got upside. He was really impressive in his debut. But with IRAD on board, I don't think you'll get 6-1. He might end up being the favorite. And there's other horses that look pretty good in here too. So I'm not real interested in betting this race, but if I had to pick a horse, I would pick the 7 Haunted by the Music.
All right. I think that it will be a lower price because I also am on that horse. Mitch, what did you think?
Well, I certainly think you have to use the 7 Haunted by the Music anytime a horse runs such an impressive race the first time out. And looks like the horse is training well. But I am concerned about two things. I'm concerned about the layoff, has it run since December, and I'm concerned about the fact that it's a $6,000 horse, and there's other horses here that I think you might get a better price on. And the ones that I'm looking at primarily, first of all, is the 11 Whiskey Sunrise. Good connections, attended a very fast pace last time, ran a nice number, a 7, not as nice as the 4 Thoroughgraph number that the 7 Haunted by the Music ran. But these are 3-year-olds, so plenty of room for improvement. And the other one that I liked was the 3, who also gets a better post, obviously. The 3 is Tap It to Win, the Mark Cassie horse. So, that's always an angle. Working extremely well, the last 4 works, 3 of them are bullets. And the key to that horse, I think, is going back to Saratoga and seeing how well the horse ran his second start, where he ran an 8 Thoroughgraph number, stalked a nice pace and won fairly easily. And then they thought enough of him to bring him back in the Breeders' Cup Futurity, where the horse attended the pace and then just totally crapped out. And then brought him back at a mile in October, and the horse didn't run a step. So the key to liking the 3 Tap It to Win is if you think that Saratoga race second time out indicates the talent here, this is a $200,000 Tap It horse, then coming back now with these good works, I really think that the 3 is a major threat here.
Just to clarify, Mitch, Haunted by the Music is not a $6,000 horse. His sire is—that's his fee, $6,000.
Yeah, no, that's what I meant. And when I'm referring to that, as opposed to the purchase price, I think the big beast is not the sire that Tappet is. That was my point.
Oh, I totally agree. But the big beast has been an awesome, precocious sire. His horses are running lights out as 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds dirt sprinting on the dirt. So to me, in dirt sprints, I'll take the big beast with any sire and definitely over Tap It in this kind of a race. Now, going 2 turns, that's a different story, but sprinting on the dirt, the big beast has really been, I think his studs fee is going to be going up because he's been, his foals have been outperforming their mares in these dirt sprints. So I think that's worth keeping in mind in other races with 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds going forward.
We can say he's been a beast at stud. I'm going to also latch on to Haunted by the Music. He won handily in the debut. I like that he didn't have the lead. He was approached from the outside. He pulled ahead readily. Then he just galloped out like a monster. I mean, he looked super. I mean, he just looked like a really great physical specimen. Now, maybe I was, I don't know if I'm exaggerating, but when I saw it, I was like, holy cow, this horse looks fantastic. Now, the trainer second out with a maiden winner. He's only 2 for 22, but one of those was a stake at 12-1. He's an up and coming trainer. He actually has an ROI of 186 at Gulfstream. He hasn't won very many, but he might have only won one, but he's hit there. And he reaches out to IRAD. So, you can't just be a Johnny come lately trainer and reach out to IRAD unless you're serious. So they like this horse, and it doesn't surprise me that they gave him some time from that race. They want to be really careful with this horse. I also looked at the Dam and the Siblings were fast. I mean, the Dam was a very fast horse at a young age. So I don't see any reason why this horse won't improve. The thing that worries me a little bit is that he's facing older in his 3-year-old debut. And that's a little hard. But then again, these aren't the greatest horses. So I like him enough that I'm going to single him in the pick five. If I went too deep, I'd have to bet more than I want to. I'd bet more than I'm comfortable with. So since Haunted by Music, the music is probably going to be something like 4-1, maybe 5-1. My angle will be singling him in the pick five, and that way to get some really extract some serious value. I just really liked that race. The other horse that I was interested in is the one that you liked, Mitch, Whiskey Sunrise. If I were going to go too deep, I would do that. But he did set a very fast pace. He wasn't on the lead the whole time, but he ran really fast early fractions. And the trainer's fine, second off a 180-day layoff with three-year-olds. He's 2-for-7 with a 248 ROI. But that last fraction was really slow in his last race. Now, he ran fast early. So I don't know. That's the other horse that I would like, but I'm gonna single Haunted by the Music.
Do you guys think about how the pace shakes up in this race?
I think that I was just going to mention that Whiskey Sunrise, I would like more if the four horse I'll Fight Dempsey was not in the race, but I'll Fight Dempsey is very quick and also ran a hot pace last time going 7 furlongs and actually hung on pretty well given that hot pace. So I think those two are sort of destined to hook up in here. Doesn't mean at Gulfstream Park that neither one could win, but I think they're both going to have to earn it. I really think Haunted by the Music, the way he ran last time, could sit off those two and out finish them. That's kind of how I saw the pace. What were you thinking, Mitch?
I can see, that's the toughest thing in handicapping, I think, is to predict the pace. Sometimes you look at it on paper and it just looks like there's so many speed horses and then it doesn't develop. But I think this is going to be a very fast paced race. So, you have to find a horse that can pass other horses. And, that certainly could be the 7 Haunted by the Music. We just don't know because it's only ran once.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Chris. I think it will be, he sort of proved that he didn't have to have the lead. He was really able to relax pretty well. In fact, it was a pretty easy trip for him in his debut. So yeah, that actually could be a negative, but he certainly won't be gunning it for the leads. I would imagine that it's the 4 and the 11. I haven't really looked at the other horses because the time form pace projector has those three as the first three on the horse, on the lead. The one though might go out there. He wired last race and he set a pretty early fraction. He doesn't have any other choice but to go. I agree. I think it'll be a fast pace, but I also think Haunted by the Music can handle it.
So if it is a fast pace and the speed horses all run each other down, the one interesting horse in here is the 5 horse R Mercedes Boy. He has the classic pattern that I love so much. Second off a layoff as a 4-year-old. He could sit off, not too far off and finish 4-1 on the morning line. But to me, Tap It to Win, I'll Fight Dempsey, Haunted by the Music, Whiskey Sunrise, they're all going to get bet a lot more than the 5. I just don't see the 5 going at 4-1. I think it could be much higher. And it might get that, it might trip out there and stalk a hot pace and get first run on the closers.
Yeah, he is an older horse. So that also gives him an edge, I think. And the trainer is only 1-for-10 at the current meet since they reset it. But she's 7-for-10 in the Exacta. So I'd be very nervous about this horse if I'm alive in the pick 5 going in with only Haunted by the Music. All right, let's go to the last race of the pick 5, and that is the 12th, an optional claimer, 1 mile on the turf. I mean, on the dirt, sorry. A purse of 18,000 for 3-year-olds. And I think it's your turn, Mitch. What do you think?
Well, unlike the last race, I don't think there's going to be much pace here. So that presents a problem for the closers. There were two horses that I was interested here the most. The favorite, by the way, I think it's the favorite, right? Is the 3 Pepe the Hunter, 9-5?
That's what they're saying. That's what they're guessing.
Yeah. I'm just wondering about that that claim. You know, I don't like horses that seem to be claimed by lesser trainers. Maybe you guys have thoughts on that. But anyway, the two horses that I was interested in is the 10 Starship Apollo at 8-1 with Saez, which I think is a very good price. I think the horse has the right running style because since I don't think there's a lot of pace here, that horse will be attending the slower pace, stalking it. The thoroughs are excellent. And again, one of my favorite angles, this is a reclaim. So the same trainer is claiming the horse who had a 3 back. And I just think this horse fits here, been competitive the last 4 or 5 races. The numbers fit, the right running style. So the 10 Starship Apollo, and then the other one that I was interested in is the 2, who also closed into a fairly slow pace in the last race, beat less, but I think was, give me one second, the Dexter Road. Hold on, I'm looking at the wrong horse. Bear with me, guys.
There I was bragging about how organized you are, Mitch.
Yeah, here I am. Now, my note says that he was beat by less than 2 lengths by the favorite. And the problem is that unless I'm thinking of a different favorite, I'm having trouble seeing where that was that happened.
Well, he was second to Pepe the Hunter 2 races ago. You're talking about Dexter Road?
No, I was actually talking about the 2 horse Trapezoid. So forgive me on that, because I don't know what I'm talking about, but the 2 horses that I was most interested in was the 10 Starship Apollo and the 2 Trapezoid. The other horse that I thought could run well is the 6, and that's the Queen's Jewels, who, if that horse shows any improvement, could win 2 back, which was on the dirt. Mostly this horse has been running on the turf, but 2 back ran on the dirt at a mile at this track and won with a decent thorough number. So those are the 3 horses I was interested in, the 10, the 6, and the 2. The 10 being Starship Apollo, the 6, the Queen's Jewel, and the 2, Trapezoid.
In the spirit of Vic Stauffer, I will say, if Starship Apollo wins this race, it'll be his first time in the money in 4-5 tries at the distance. First time in the money. Chris, what did you think?
Well, on the 3-horse Pepe the Hunter, that, you know, going from a horse that's been trained by Safi Joseph and Jorge Navarro to a trainer that I honestly don't know much about, but I looked at her stats and she's had 1 starter in the last 3 years and her last winner was 4 years ago. I think she might be taking over a stable as an assistant trainer or a trainer that's on suspension or something. I don't know what the story is there, to be honest with you. But that certainly, if that horse is the favorite, that's enough in a wide open race to, you know, play against that horse. That's certainly a negative. But to me, this race is the biggest spread race by far of the sequence. It's really hard to have anybody you can be confident in. But actually, I'll side with Mitch on Starship Apollo. He's not my pick, but if you look back at beyond just the numbers at his route races, he has some excuses for him, and some of them weren't that bad. They were actually, he didn't win, but didn't run in the money even, but they were probably as good as his sprint, some of his sprint, surrounding sprint races. And he has a lot of good races at 7 furlongs, and a one turn mile is not that different from a 7 furlong sprint. So I do agree, there's not a lot of pace in here. That's why the Queen Jewels, another horse that Mitch mentioned, is dangerous, gets Irad, and that horse probably has the most speed. So I agree with him. Both of those are contenders. There's two horses he didn't mention that I think I like the best. Probably my pod pick will be the 11. She Takes Heart. She's 20-1 in the Morning Line, which is one of the reasons I like her, because she probably will be 20-1. She's a mare going against the boys. She hasn't run a good race in a long time, but she joined a new barn. And then her last race was the third start off a layoff, and she definitely improved it. She woke up, and I think that's a sign that she's ready to run well here. And her best race is fit, and she has some tactical speed with an outside post. So she could get a good trip in this one turn mile, and she'll be a big, big price. So I think she's the kind that you'd want to include in the pick five or pick six or any kind of play. And I think she probably has almost as good a chance as anybody in the race. So she'll be my pod pick, the 11 horse, She Takes Heart. I'm going to play the 7-year-old mare to beat the boys.
Well, I had marked down that had a slight chance to run back to those big numbers, and you are pretty good about taking horses that are returning to form. So if I play the pick five, which I think I'm going to, I will, based on your comments there, I will probably add that horse. The horse I went with was the 2 Trapezoid, which Mitch liked. She ran fast as a 2-year-old, and he ran fast as a 2-year-old and ran a recent top as a 5-year-old. And now he's circling back to that top. And that top was made at a mile. So this is his best distance. I think that I don't know about the slow pace. I think that the for some reason I wrote fast pace will help him, should help him. So I'd have to figure out why I thought that there might be a fast pace here. So I like that horse. And then the couple other horses that I'm interested in, one is the 5, who's, up against, he needs a fast pace too, but with this quality horse, I think anything could happen. So Il Farone, the 5, is 2 for his last 6, and both wins came at this distance. So I feel like he's kind of a must use. And then I'm also interested in the 9, Dexter Road. He is 1-3-1 for 7. And when I say that, that means 1 win, 3 place seconds, and 1/3 at out of 7 races. So 5 for 7 in the money at the distance. Has been running well lately. It has a couple of seconds. The trainer can pop. She has 4 seconds out of 6 races this meet, and the jock carries 7 pounds less. So the horse is going to run a better race. It keeps on running the same number over and over again. The horse is going to run a better race one of these days, and today could be it. And at 8-1 morning line, I would take that. I think that I would use that horse at 8-1, and I think it might even go off higher. So that's where I stand on that race.
Well, I agree with you on all. I think this is a real spread race. There is one horse you haven't mentioned. It's probably my second choice behind the 11, She Takes Heart, and that's the 1, the Robert, who's a bit of a plotter, but he ships in from Parks, and Joel Rosario gets on, which to me is significant. Draws the rail, and Rosario is probably as good as anybody except for maybe Irad on these deep closers on the dirt or turf. I think he might be able to work a trip And this horse might show a little more speed. He might be a little bit more likely to be aggressive on him. And, you know, shipping in, and this horse's numbers are pretty good. So if there is any kind of pace at all, he might be the best of the closers. And he could be a big price getting shipped in without any of the local connections in terms of the trainer. So to me, he's kind of a long shot, live long shot, the one, the Robert.
The time form pace projector has it as a fast pace. That doesn't mean it's going to be a fast pace, but they have the 3, 6, and 10 battling for the lead. So if that transpires, that's going to help the closers.
Yeah, I think this is a chaos race. Anything could happen. I think you want to spread. If you're serious about cashing, you know, either you want to just pick a horse and go with it, or really need to spread, because this race, to me, any of them could win. And it might be a fast pace. It might be a lone horse on an easy lead, and you can't trust any of them. So, you know, it's a spread race for me.
Anything else to add on this one, Mitch?
Well, again, I just, you know, it's so difficult to figure out what the pace is sometimes in these races, but I'm still thinking that it's not going to be a fast pace, and so I'm against the closers.
Okay. Well, I know we were thinking about the pick six payout, and I think Chris is the only one who's really looked at the race. So, Chris, what were your thoughts on that seventh race at Gulfstream?
It's a really interesting race. There was one horse in particular that I liked quite a bit, and that was the 9-horse Envied, who he's by American Pharoah, and American Pharoah's turned out to be a really good sort of sprint turf sire. But for some reason, this horse, they started him on two turns and they kept him routing all his starts as a 2-year-old. And every time he would kind of get tired at the end, it just looked like a sprinter. So they brought him back as a 4-year-old, and they finally put him in a sprint, and he had a really tough trip. He got shuffled all the way back, but when he got in the clear, he made a nice move, and I think he's definitely going to be better sprinting. So now he's going second off a layoff, sprinting again. He's 6-1 in the morning line. You know, I thought he was real solid in here. I don't think we want to spend a lot of time on this race, but for me, you know, he was the most interesting horse. There's definitely some other contenders in there. But I thought, you know, he might get overlooked because there are some big connections horses, like there's a Wesley Ward IRAD horse, the 5, I think will get way over bet. And a couple others that are going to take a lot of money. So that horse could even float up above the 6-1 morning line. So number 9, Envied, is the value play, I think, in that seventh race at Gulfstream.
Well, just taking a quick gander at the race while you were talking, there are a lot of horses that fit here. And I don't have a prediction, but I would go deep. I would certainly include Envied. You can only go, you know, you might be able to get away with only going 4 or 5 deep here, or 3 or 4. You have to use Fast Scene, you have to use Aficionado, and you have to use American Tap. So I think those three plus Envied, that would be my opinion. I don't know that I will play the pick six, but if I do, I probably use all 4 of those horses.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree. Those are probably the main contenders. Fast Scene's probably the one to beat just because he's so quick. And at 5 furlongs on the turf, being on the lead is always a big deal.
All right. Any other plays, either of you gentlemen, earlier in the card?
Mitch, you have anything else?
I don't. I stuck to my task of looking at the late pick 5, and now I'm going to stick to my next task, which is looking at the $75 Friday NHC contest today.
All right. Well, I would like to thank our guest, Mitch Schumann. Mitch, thanks for helping us tackle these pretty tough races.
Thanks for having me.
And that will conclude show number 63 of the PH Pod. May you crush the Gulfstream Pick 5 and even the Pick 6, and please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
Cheers.
Giddy up.